Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not.
Congress has left Washington, D.C., now off on its spring break. That means Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, might pop up at local events for the next 2 weeks. Faso's website recently added a public schedule section, but it only shows the current day's schedule and does not list any information to attend. The Monday, April the 10th listing on his website read, and I quote, 8:30 a.m. Rensselaer County Honor Event, end quote, only, and did not indicate where the event was located. Previous representatives Scott Murphy and Chris Gibson both listed public events on their websites and held public town hall meetings. Faso is not holding any traditional town hall meetings during the break. He has yet to hold any, but will appear on a local television station's event on April 13th, though it is not listed on his public schedule. He may be appearing at other local events, such as the April 7th Columbia County Chamber of Commerce annual legislative breakfast held at the Columbia Green Community College, which costs $25 to attend. Jimmy McCarthy reports in the Post Journal that while the recent Republican health care plan died in Congress without a vote, the amendment to the bill from Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, is still alive. Faso amended the Republican health care plan before he voted for it in committee. The amendment shifts Medicaid costs in New York from counties to the state. The amendment started a Twitter war with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who was opposed. Faso and other Republican lawmakers claimed New Yorkers would save around $350 on their property taxes under the amendment, but did not say what the increase in their state taxes would be if the plan was implemented. Representative Tom Reed from Corning, New York, said the amendment is still alive in Washington and will return as Republicans make a second effort to pass legislation. He said, and I quote, health care debate will be a 12-month window. I think going on spring break for 2 weeks will allow members to decompress and refocus the effort when we return, end quote. You can read that full story in the Post Journal. Matt Hamilton is reporting in the Times Union that Will Yandick of Livingston, who once successfully competed in the 2016 19th Congressional District Democratic primary, will not run in 2018. Yandick made the announcement on Tuesday, April the 11th, saying he was grateful for the encouragement from supporters in recent months, but, and I quote, now is not the right time for me and my family to run for Congress, end quote. Yandick holds a seat in the Livingston Town Board. He lost the primary to Zephyr Teachout. Teachout eventually lost to Kinderhook Republican John Faso in the general election. Politico New York reported recently that Teachout does not intend to run again in 2018. The Democratic field for next year already has three candidates: Antonio Delgado of Dutchess County, Steve Bracy of Ulster County, and Brian Flynn of Greene County have filed statements of candidacy with the Federal Election Commission. You can read that full story in the Times Union. Victoria Addison is reporting in the Register Star that U.S. Representative John Faso will appear in what is being billed as a televised town hall meeting on Thursday night in the studios of WMHT in Troy. Tickets for the show are no longer available, Faso's communications director Courtney Weaver said. A total of 80 seats were made available in the studio for the event, she said. Weaver added, and I quote, those 80 seats were all spoken for in 2 hours. They are all constituents of the congressman's district, end quote. Constituents can view the program on the PBS affiliate WMHT or online at faso.house.gov. Beginning at 8 p.m., constituents can submit questions via Twitter using the hashtag FasoTownHall. Faso said WMHT will accept questions online and the moderators will mix online questions with those posed by audience members. The conversation will be moderated by Matt Ryan of New York Now and Casey Seeler, Times Union state editor and columnist. Citizens Actions New York and Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood have organized a Save Our Care rally outside the television studio beginning at 7:30 p.m. Faso has steadfastly refused to hold traditional in-person town hall meetings in the district since joining Congress in January and has said he has no plans to change that practice, choosing to meet with smaller groups instead. Faso also refuses to publish his schedule online, as his predecessor, Chris Gibson, did. You can read that full story in the Register Star.
My name is Ann Connor, and I'm from Hudson, New York. And,
hi, Ann.
Hi, nice to talk with you. You must appreciate the negative impact that removing undocumented and all undocumented immigrants would have on the local farming community, the loss of well-trained labor that such an action would entail. Keeping in mind that we're now right at the start of the growing season, and you have multi-generational farming families right in your own backyard, literally, do you support the administration's intent to remove as quickly as possible all of the undocumented immigrants from our district?
No. I don't believe that's exactly what their intent is. What I understand from my discussions with the federal agency is they're intending to remove people that have criminal records. Now, here's the issue that I think is really critical. You raised the agricultural sector. We also have the sector where workers come into the country on other visas for doing landscaping and nursery work and things like this. I met with a dozen dairy farmers in our district office in Kinderhook just the other day. And the top issue for them, interesting, wasn't milk prices. It wasn't the various subsidies that exist that were intended in the 2014 Farm Bill. It was immigration. It was trying to make sure that we can keep in our country workers that they bring in, largely Guatemalan and Mexican, working in the dairy farms because they need these workers. And these are also jobs that, quote-unquote, Americans will not do. It's very apparent. I was on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox about a month ago, and he was incredulous. And I said, he said, you mean Americans won't do these jobs? I was talking about the Hudson Valley apple growers. And the answer was, no, Americans will not do these jobs. I've met with apple farmers recently. I've met with dairy farmers. I've met with people in the nursery business, the landscaping business. Everyone says the same thing. So I support normalization of status of people who came into the country illegally, so long as they have not violated the law, committed a crime. And we had an example of frankly in Columbia County not that long ago where a guy had multiple returns to the country after being deported multiple times. Turned out he had sex offenses as well. So none of us want those kind of people in the country. But the fact is, we've got to get real on this immigration system. It's not just about building walls and border security. It's about treating people humanely, treating people who've been in this country working productively, who may actually have children who are American citizens. So I, for instance, I'm a co-sponsor of a bill in the Congress, which would allow for the legalized status of people who came here as children under the age of 16 and who now know nothing else. If you're a four-year-old, you're brought to this country by your parents who illegally entered the country, and now you're 24. You've spent 20 years in this country. You know nothing else. So it's very important that we look at this. Yes, we have to have border security. Yes, we have to recognize that half the people who are in the country today illegally have violated a visa. So they came in legally, but they overstayed their visa. So fix this problem, and especially in the Hudson Valley where the dairy and the fruit industries, we really do depend on it. Our economy depends on it. So I totally agree with the sentiment that you expressed. I want to make sure that we're not letting people escape into the country or escape the scrutiny if they've committed crimes. But the vast majority of these folks have not committed crimes.
My name is Heather Williams. I'm from Catskill, New York. Do you support delaying any major tax legislation until the American public has had a chance to review the president's tax returns to rule out conflicts of interest?
No, I don't think that would be a wise thing for us to do.
Hi, Chris Regan from Millerton, New York.
Hi, Chris.
And I was going to ask a question about global warming, but you've somewhat addressed that.
Yep.
Although I would like to say that I think that both the government and the people of this country should be ashamed of how little we're doing to address it. I have a daughter who's 26. She's told me recently that she's not willing to have a child because she's totally uncertain about what the world will be like in 30 or 40 years. And I just think that's shameful that we have enough science. We understand, we've known for decades what's going on, and we're not doing anything. Studies, you know, conferences, whatever. We need to reduce our use of fossil fuels, and we have the ability to do that now. You know, it's just a matter of choosing to. But the question now that I get to ask.
This is a twofer.
When we talked about the ACA repeal earlier, one of the main things that the Republicans, it seemed, were trying to do was have a tax break for very wealthy individuals, because a big difference between the ACA and their bill was this complete loss of all this money that we were raising from people who can afford to put money into the system. You know, if we're worried about the healthcare system costing us money, why would we be pulling all the money out? In other words, that money was being used as to subsidize people in the country who needed healthcare and couldn't afford it. It always seems as though the Republicans are willing to keep money for the rich and let the rest of us just cope. And, you know, so even the tax plan that's coming up, I'm sure what's going to be proposed are huge tax cuts to the people who make over $1 million. You know, there are billionaires in this country who could give us 7/8 of their wealth. They wouldn't be any worse off. And we need money. We are not a poor country, but we act like it.
Yeah. Here's what my approach has been. There are a number of taxes in the ACA that everyone agrees should go. Even Elizabeth Warren wants to eliminate the tax on medical device manufacturers. I mean, it's that unites left and right. The tax you're talking about is the tax on capital gains income for people over $250,000. And the argument is that that tax is not necessarily related to health care, but more precisely, that tax has contributed to a slower economic growth in our economy. So that is the argument. Well, I know you don't. I know you don't buy it.
It's more to do with who is lobbying our.
No. Yes. No. Yes. No.
Yes. And I'd also like to just say that you've mentioned several times that, you know, the main concern of your constituents are jobs
and taxes.
And taxes. Have you heard any of that tonight?
No.
We want the federal government to do things that we need done.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the people who have gotten so wealthy in the last 50 years in this country need to be holding on to their purse strings so tightly when the country needs things done.
Yeah.
We should be raising taxes on the rich.
Well, you know, that is a convenient response that people have all the time. No,
yeah, it's the obvious response. It's, what's not right about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.